Program was transcribed for release at this time.
What's the name?
John Hancock.
What's the program?
Point Sublime. Point Sublime. Presented by the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company. Starring Cliff Arquette and Mel Blanc, Point Sublime is written and produced by Robert L. Redd. Point Sublime. Take you to the adventuresome little town of Point Sublime. But first, we'd like you to meet your John Hancock agent, Webb Tyler.
Good evening, friends. Say, did you ever try to save money in a piggy bank? Well, it's mighty easy, isn't it, to smash him and go spending everything he's got inside? But you take those few dollars a week you've been slipping into piggy and put it into a new John Hancock personal security plan, and, well, good things are just bound to come your way. For the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company guarantees your money. Money to help pay off the mortgage on your home, send a son away to college, meet a financial emergency, or even enjoy an extra income when you're older. And what's more, your John Hancock Personal Security Plan safeguards your loved one's future, too, if you should no longer be here to support them. And they'd need a sum of money at least equal to your present annual earnings to tide them over that difficult first year or two. So plan your John Hancock personal security program on the basis of a sum at least that large. It costs less than you probably think, and your friendly John Hancock agent will be glad to explain it to you.
Now for the human story of a fellow named Ben Willett. It is mid-morning in Point Sublime, and at Willett's store, Ben is puttering around back in the small post office cage. August Moon is just entering.
Mooney, I told you 1,000 times to keep out of the post office section. What do you want back here?
Where's the free ink?
Free ink?
Well, sure. Can't you always get free ink at a post office? I want to give my fountain pen a transfusion.
Mooney, it's about time you start getting a little serious about life. It's time...
What do I smell back here?
You don't smell anything. Now, as I've said...
I smell something awful back here.
Now, look, I keep this post office clean as a pin. I don't smell anything.
Oh, I bet I know what it is.
Oh, yeah? What?
The dead letters. I caught you on that one.
It's not funny. Mooney, you listen to me. It's time you're taking on a little responsibility. You got obligations as a citizen of this town.
Well, I try, Mr. Willett, but it's awful hard for me to settle down. Just what can I do?
Mooney, I'll tell you something. Yeah. Right now, our town is in disgrace and doesn't know it.
It is?
Yeah, and it's not our fault. Last week was National Heart Week. Well, Point Sublime didn't participate, did it?
Well, I didn't hear anything about it, gee.
No, and I'm still waiting for those fellas up in Vernon who run things to call and appoint me local rally leader. Well, it's too late now.
They just overlooked us, huh?
Yeah, I guess they thought we was too small to make much of a contribution. But if I had been appointed, I'd put you to work on that drive, you see?
Oh, boy, I'd like that. Mm-hmm. Hey, somebody just came in the store out there.
Yeah. I looked through the wicket. Oh, Evelyn Hanover and Howie McGuire. Hello out there.
Hello.
Get along when you get out of the post office. Get.
I am. You don't have to push me. I'll tell Uncle Sam.
Well, how are you, kid?
Well, I'm fine, Benny, my boy, but I think Evelyn's still put out with me.
Well, it was embarrassing, most embarrassing.
Well, what happened, Evie?
Well, I was only trying to bring my happy future to a decision.
Well, you didn't have to say it in front of the real estate salesman.
Hey, what'd you do, Howie?
You know that new model home they built up on Clark Hill?
Yeah, it opened for public inspection this morning.
Well, I just drove up there and took Evelyn through it.
Oh, now, Evie, I wanted us to go through it together.
Well, I must admit, it was very lovely. Yeah.
Evelyn loved the modern electric kitchen so much, I simply remarked that if she ever accepts one of my proposals for marriage, I'd buy her the house as a wedding present. And I would, too.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
You would not. Hush up, Mooney. Darn you, Howie.
What's the matter, Benny? Evelyn will break down to accept me someday, you see.
Yeah, she won't.
Well, we won't talk about it. Ben, did you ever hear why you weren't appointed local chairman of the National Heart Week? last week?
No, not a word. Those Vernon people make me so mad ignoring our little town like that.
Say, Mr. Willet, maybe I can help. Would you grant me a favor?
Well, such as what, Mooney?
Well, I want to go and think.
Well, who cares? Go and think.
But I always think better when I'm running my fingers through the rice bin. Can I, huh?
Yeah, oh, anything, any. Go think, but don't wear out my rice.
No, sir. I'm not. Oh, boy, am I? Really.
Look, Benny, here comes Mike Pagano.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm terribly worried about Mike these last few days.
I haven't seen him lately. What's wrong now?
Well, same old thing. Well, he's getting worse. He's getting moody.
You know, Ben, I think Mike's in love with that little Scotch girl who came to town a couple of weeks ago.
Laura Magruder?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Holly. All I know is I'd feel sorry for any young fellow like him. No relatives, trying to join the Navy 2 months ago and getting turned down. And having to just lie around in his trailer because the doctor tells him...
Ben, quiet. He's coming in.
Yeah. Well, morning, Mike. How's the old sock?
Morning, Miss Hanover, Mr. Willet, Mr. McBriar.
Hiya, Mike.
How are you feeling, Mike?
Physically, I feel terrific.
Oh, gee, that's swell.
Pack cigarettes, please, Camel.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm making one last trip over to see the doc.
Doc Locker.
Yeah. Maybe he's wrong about me having a bum heart. Maybe those Navy doctors that turned me down are wrong, too. Maybe they're all wrong.
Oh, now, Mike, you have to be patient.
Patient? Oh, look, Miss Hanover, if doing a little honest labor once more is going to kill me, then I'm going to get a job and die happy.
Oh, Mike, you're talking silly.
I know what would cheer up, Mike.
Oh, yeah?
Sure. Spending a nice afternoon with your new little girlfriend from Scotland.
Lay off, Mr. McBriar. Say, Mr. Willis.
Yeah?
What goes with Laura Magruder? She's got me half sore.
Why are you mad at Laura?
Well, you know the last time she was in town from her uncle's farm?
Last Wednesday?
Yeah, last Wednesday. She said, now I'm not afraid to introduce Mike to my Uncle Andrew.
Yeah, well...
Did she ever talk to you about being afraid to introduce me to her relatives?
Well, once.
She's ashamed of me, isn't she?
No, Laura isn't ashamed of you.
So you won't tell me either. Well, if the girl's ashamed of me, I know what it is. She's afraid to have her folks find out about me because I'm not working.
Mike, you're building that idea up too big in your mind.
Yeah? Well, maybe I don't blame her. It's asking a lot of a girl and asking a lot of her folks to believe my story that a husky guy like me has a bum heart.
Oh, now, Mike.
I'm getting out of here. I'm going over and see the doc.
Yeah, Mike, please come back here.
And he better be pretty convincing this time or I'm taking my case in my own hands.
Oh, dear.
Gosh, Benny. Did Laura Magruder ever tell you she was afraid to introduce Mike Pagano to her uncle and aunt?
Yeah.
Mm. Why?
Well, the Magruders are pretty straight-laced. Laura's afraid her uncle will think Mike's kind of, well, on the rough side.
You mean tough?
No, Mike isn't tough. He's okay. He's a lot older than Laura. Guess Laura's afraid her uncle will make her stop seeing Mike.
Say, Mr. Willis.
Oh, what, Mooney, what? Did you think of something noble?
Well, it's coming kind of slow, but I did think of something. You know my cousin Joe up at Elmswood?
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned him. Webb Tyler was asking me about Joe Lorraine just the other day. Hey, how's your cousin doing since he moved to Elmswood? Is Joe worth any money?
Well, I don't know what he's worth, but he saves $50 every single day of his life.
Joe does?
Uh-huh.
How's he save that much money?
Well, he goes into the city park, and there's a big sign there that says, $50 fine for picking flowers, so Joe doesn't pick any.
Honestly. Yeah, you better go back to the rice bin and think some more.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'll think of something to do that'll make you responsible
for it. Yeah. Your phone,
Ben. Yeah. Well, the morning's starting to jam up on me. Yes, phone, I'm coming. Hello, Ben Willis, Stormata, we got everything. Who's at the other end of the cord? Oh, Laura Magruder.
Laura?
What? In a hurry? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Mike was in the store a little while ago. Your uncle and aunt? Yeah, well, I can try, Laura. All right, Kitty. Yeah, sure. Goodbye, honey.
Was that Laura Magruder?
No, it was Lana Turner. Certainly it was Laura.
Yeah, I sure like little Laura.
Mooney, please.
Yeah, I'll never forget the day she arrived in town and I was at the depot.
Yeah, we know.
And I asked her if I could carry her bags. And she looked up at me with her soft gray eyes and smiled and said, thank you.
Get back your rice bin. Think anything.
Yeah, I am.
Where is Laura, Ben?
I'll call from the farm. Oh, dear, Laura and her uncle are coming into town this morning. Laura wants me to arrange to have Mike around the store when they get here. She wants me to introduce Mike to him.
Oh, then she's decided to face the issue.
Yeah. Doggone it, when the phone rang, I thought maybe it was a Vernon County committee calling to apologize for forgetting to appoint me local chairman.
Too bad Hard Week's over, Benny.
Yeah.
If I'd known about it, I'd have contributed $1,000.
Really, Howard?
Sure thing.
Oh, Howie and his money. I was going to give $10, all I could cut now. May still mail it in.
Oh, Ben, look out the window.
What? Oh, my gosh, Hattie Hirsch.
What's she bringing in that wheelbarrow? A great big thing.
It's painted red, white, and blue.
Yeah, it looks like a lemonade stand.
Look at the old girl puffing along. She told me the other day she was dieting. I like nowhere.
Well, Hattie always was a poor loser.
There. She set the wheelbarrow down outside the door.
Yeah, and here comes Hattie Hirsch now.
But I've just kneeled up in front then.
What is that thing, Hattie?
It's a booth, and I'm setting it up right here in your store.
Yeah, well, that's all right. What?
Mm-hmm. Are you going to sell something, Hattie?
Oh, just wait till you hear. Come on, all of you outside. I want you to have a closer look.
Come on, Benny.
She's not going to set up no booth in my store. Step out, Evelyn.
Thank you, Evelyn. Now, there you are. See?
Good gravy, Ben. The sign on it says, give to the American Heart Association.
Now, look here, Hattie Hirsch. You trying to muscle in on my territory?
Your territory? Don't be a dope, Ben. And you see here on both sides, people?
Hattie's photograph. Great big ones.
Why, it says underneath, vote for Hattie Hirsch for County Commissioner, March 15th.
You mock my words, I'll beat you, Ben Willett, in the coming election.
But you can't electioneer on the sides of a National Heart Week booth.
Why not?
Well, besides, Heart Week's over.
Furthermore, even if it wasn't, Ben Willett was waiting to be appointed local chairman.
You get that booth off my property, Hattie.
I guess you didn't know I went to Vernon 10 days ago, before the drive, and got myself appointed our chairman.
You did?
That's why you never heard from us.
Oh,
well, what happened? We thought headquarters forgot us.
Well, I had to wait for my booth to be built.
Oh, dear, and I was mad and blaming the Vernon fellas.
And then the photographer in Vernon had to enlarge my pictures. He had to blow them up, you know.
Well, he didn't use enough dynamite. Hattie, I'm ashamed of you. Making an electioneering stunt out what should have been our National Heart Week drive.
Well, I'm going through with it now. You and Howie carry the booth into the store and set it up.
That thing positively does not come into my establishment.
Oh, so you won't cooperate with the nation while I wire President Truman in Washington, D.C.
Yes, you would, too. Oh, now, Hattie, don't do that.
Will you carry my booth in or not?
Well...
You'll have to, Ben.
Yeah, might as well. Come on, Ben.
And in the meantime, I shall run home and get all the folders and forms they have supplied me with, and I'll be right back to open contributions. So tell your friends. Tell everybody. Tell the citizens. Tell the world. We must all back the cause. Well, Ben, ta-ta.
I'd like to march on her with a meat cleaver. Ta-ta! Ta-ta!
Oh, of all the nerves.
Well, she stole a march on you this time, Benny. Say, Evelyn, shall we be on our way? I'll walk you over to your cottage.
Good. See you later, Ben. I'm sorry about all this.
Yeah, sure. I'll see you later.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Tyler.
Good morning, Miss Hanover. Howie?
How are you, Webb?
Hey, what do we have here in this wheelbarrow?
Ben will tell you all about it, Webb. I'll see you around.
All right, Howie, sure. Hey, what is this, Ben?
Never mind.
Hey, you're a little grumpy this fine morning.
Well, it's that Hattie Hirsch always butting into things. Last week, I wanted to be local chairman of the American Heart Association drive. Hattie messed things up. She wants to stage a drive in our town this week herself.
Well, let the old gal go ahead with it.
A week late?
Sure. It's a great cause, Ben. So
So we're a week late. Even if our town's contribution is small, I'm sure it'll be acceptable to help fight America's greatest killer, heart disease.
Hey, maybe you're right, Webb. Go on the store. I got to consider your idea.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, careful now. Of course, I do know that if I was in charge of the drive, I could get people to back it and contribute more than Hattie can.
Oh, I don't doubt that a minute, Ben. But Hattie's aced you out this time.
Yeah.
You know, the American Heart Association is doing a marvelous job of public education and research, Ben.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I want to make a contribution myself. It's sort of like making an investment toward information I might need in the future.
Yeah, well, like saving up for a rainy day, huh?
Yes, in a way, you might figure it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that knowledge and money, when you need it, are mighty important to a man. And it's good to plan ahead for those rainy spells.
Yeah, this stretch of fair weather is apt to fool us all into believing it's not going to rain very much.
You're so right, my friend.
Mm.
And that's when we're likely to dip into our savings until there's practically nothing left.
Well, that happened to me once.
Yeah. Well, Ben, when a man sets aside a few dollars a week for our new John Hancock personal security plan, then it's a different story.
Well, I can't argue about that, Webb.
The money's there, safe and secure, to make his future brighter. Money he can use someday to help pay off a mortgage, send a youngster to college, or guarantee his continued comfort if his earnings should ever be reduced.
Well, it figures.
Also, the friendly John Hancock agent will always be glad to show him how his personal security plan serves as financial protection for those he loves.
Mm-hmm.
If anything should ever happen to him and his family should have to readjust getting along without his support. It's a plan that gives him a twofold guarantee, that's what it is. As life insurance, it safeguards his family's future, or it provides for his own security during the years that lie ahead. And yet, setting aside no more than a few dollars a week enables him to build a real security plan.
You kind of know what you're talking about, don't you, Red?
Well, back of the John Hancock agent, Ben, is 85 years of experience in helping millions of Americans make their future more secure.
Webb, excuse me, but sure? I just remembered, Hattie will be back any minute, and I'm in a spot. I got to carry in that fool Booth of hers.
You want me to help you?
No, I'll get Mooney. Yeah, Mooney!
Yeah! No, when he wants hard labor done, he calls me. Well, I got my price.
I pay you a weekly salary.
Yeah, carrying heavy things is extra.
Well, what do you want, kid?
Well, if I help carry in Hattie's booth, can I go back in the post office department and fill my fountain pen with free ink?
I don't care anything.
Oh, gee, wonderful. Let's go, we'll tote that booth.
Well, excuse us a minute, will you, Webb?
Sure, Ben.
Yeah. Come on, Mr. Willis.
I got a hold.
Well, you lift, too.
I'm lifting.
I'm not an elephant, you know.
Yeah.
Lift. You carry some of it.
And now part two of Point Sublime. It is about an hour later. A somewhat disgruntled Ben Willett stands in his store, glowering at Hattie Hirsch's belated red, white, and blue Heart Week booth with her pictures on its sides. Evelyn Hanover and Howie McBryer are trying to placate Ben.
Yeah, look at that thing. Look at that thing in my store. A monument to the old windbag who's trying to beat me out in the March 15th election for county commissioner.
Ben, calm down. Here comes Mike Pagano, back from Dr. Lockhart.
Oh, dear.
What time are Laura Magruder and her uncle arriving?
Any time now, I guess. Then more fireworks.
Well, I saw the doc again.
What did he tell you, Mike?
Oh, the same old stall. Take it easy. Nothing to worry about.
Say, what's that thing there?
That? It was supposed to be an American Heart Association booth.
Well, how come Mrs. Hirsch's pictures are plastered on the side? Well, Hattie got herself appointed local chairman of the drive.
Oh, yeah?
Ben, I've just decided something.
Huh?
I think you should go over and have a talk with Dr. Lockhart about Mike's condition.
Me? Hey, yeah, maybe he'll tell you something he won't tell me.
Well, I shouldn't go right now. I mean, certain people are coming and...
Oh, yeah.
I've made up my mind. Unless there's some awful good reason the doc can give somebody, I'm going to take a job and pronto.
I guess I better go over and see Doc. Hey.
Say... I just got me a brilliant brainstorm.
Yeah?
When is Mrs. Hirsch going to open up that booth?
Well, she'll be back any time now.
Yeah?
Well, it just comes to me. I figured it all out. I'm going to fix it so Mike Pagano will have to go to work. I'm going to make a squeeze play.
What are you talking about, Mike?
I'll be right back. Right back. I'm going down to my trailer and get my dough.
Now, Mike, don't you be going along. I want you around the store.
You won't be around the store? Oh, yeah, sure. I want to know what the doc tells you.
Well, why is Mike going after his money?
Search me. Say, I got to rush over to see Doc and get back before Laura and her folks get here.
Well, please hurry, Ben. Oh, look, heavens, here comes Hattie back.
Well, I'm going out the back way so I won't have to talk to her now. The old windsock law.
Sit down, Ben, sit down. Move those books off the chair. Sorry things are all cluttered up like this.
Doc, I'm in kind of a hurry. Can you answer the question I asked you about Mike Pagano?
Well, he has a strange case. However, one that's not entirely uncommon after a war.
The war's been over 2.5 years.
Yes, it's over, but we're into a cycle of so-called inflation and pseudo-good times.
Honest, Doc, I am in a hurry. What about Mike? He's desperate. He's going to take a job, and if he does with his heart in the condition it's in, he might... Well, he might...
Kill himself?
Yeah.
He won't.
What? He can go to work?
Sure.
Oh, now, Doc, you saying that Mike is pulling a fake on
us? Not at all. Ben, in World War I and in World War II, thousands of soldiers and sailors went to hospitals because they suddenly developed heart ailments. Doctors were baffled. You know what killed those men?
What?
Both times. The signing of the armistice.
Oh?
Their ailment was real and honest, but it was phenomenal.
Well, I don't get it. There's no war now.
Ben, these are days of tension, speed, and anxiety. Look, I'm just a small-town doctor, but I see a lot of people every day. I read and keep up. I go to clinics.
Well, honest, Doc, I got to get back to the store. What about Mike?
Well, frankly, Ben, I've been taking some extra time to study Mike. I've watched his reactions to suggestions I've tried to plant in his mind.
Well, is he sick or not?
Well, his improvement has been great. He's not far off now.
Oh, good grief, Doc. Why didn't you tell him?
Well, it wasn't quite time. I didn't want him to get all steamed up and excited and go back and try to join the Navy and maybe get turned down again. No, that'd have been bad for Mike.
Doc, maybe he can do light work now, huh?
Ben, Mike can do some light work. Maybe around town.
Oh, brother, that's the best news I've had for days. Let me get back to my store.
Tell him easy work now, Ben.
Yeah, sure.
Howard McBriarley's booth is now open for business. Will you or will you not contribute to the American Heart Association?
No, Hattie, not unless you take your own photographs off the side.
I will not.
Then I won't donate.
And I won't either. Oh, Howie, look outside. They're here. The Magruders.
Oh, golly. Ben ought to be here for this.
Oh, Andy Magruder coming. Wait till you see me pin that Scotsman for a contribution.
I hope Mike Pagano doesn't get here before Ben does.
Step in, Laura.
Thank you.
Hello, Laura.
Oh, how are you, Miss Hanover? Mr. McBriar?
Laura?
This is my Uncle Andrew. Aunt Madge couldn't come with us. I told them all about you.
How do you do, sir?
Where's Ben Willett?
He'll be back in a minute.
Oh, dear.
Well, Andy Magruder, you're taking a long time to say hello to me.
I didn't see you, Mrs. Hirsch.
Well...
What are you doing standing in that thing? Selling something?
I've been waiting for you. How much do you want to contribute to the Heart Association?
Well, from the looks of that booth, Mrs. Hirsch, I can't tell whether you're taking contributions for a most worthy cause or soliciting votes for yourself.
Why?
you see, Hattie?
Miss Hanover, look.
Oh, Mike's coming.
Oh, why does Mr. Willett get here?
Laura, my child, what's wrong?
Well, you see, Uncle Andrew, there... Some things I hadn't told you and Aunt Madge.
Okay, Mrs. Hirsch. I went and got my dough.
What?
I said that I would... Oh, hello, Laura.
Michael.
When did you get to town?
Just now, Michael. This is my Uncle Andrew.
Oh, yeah? How are you? Say, how much do these contributions cost, Mrs. Hirsch?
Cost? They don't cost anything. It's whatever you want to give.
Well, now, look, let's talk turkey. I'm ready to spend my wad. I went down to my trailer, I dipped into my sock, and I got the works. Everything I got, $547. See, here you are.
That's a deal of money, love.
Well, I'm shooting the works, Uncle Andrew.
I don't know what it's all about, but I'm ready to cry for you acting this way, Mike.
I think this young man is wonderful. Give me your money.
Here you are. All my worldly goods, here you are. Ah, this is my forced play, Laura, my shutout move, kid.
Don't call me kid, Michael. Shame on you. told you this is my uncle.
Yeah, sure, sure, I know. You didn't want your folks to meet me.
That isn't so now.
But I didn't know you had the opportunity to know the young men here in our town, Laura.
Uncle Andrew, I didn't tell you. But the day I arrived in town, I... Oh, thank goodness.
Hey, what's going on, a caucus? Howdy, Andy. A long time no see.
You're looking fine, Ben. Hey, Mr. Willet. I just put myself in hock.
What do you mean, Mike?
He just contributed his total savings to the American Heart Association Fund.
Mr. Willard, I don't know what it's all about. Oh, you must stop Michael from doing whatever he's doing.
Well, now look, Mike, a man's got to be practical.
Mr. Willard, I'm so practical it hurts. Yes, siree. Now I'm broke. But I still got to eat. Well, as far as I know, nobody's dishing out free meals to able-bodied citizens. Now I got to go to work. Yes, sir, get a job, eh, little Laura?
I suppose you do, Michael.
Yeah, so maybe a job will kill me, but at least girls won't be ashamed to introduce me to their folks, huh, Laura?
Oh, Michael, you don't mean a word you're saying. You're only acting. You're just a show-off.
Oh, am I?
You're only trying to hurt me because I...
Yeah, maybe I am showing off, but honest, I didn't mean to hurt you, Laura.
Uncle Andrew... This is Michael Pagano. I like him very much. I hope Mr. Willard could have introduced him to you.
Yeah, well, I was held up seeing a fellow.
How do you do, sir?
Did I hear you say you're looking for a job, Lev?
Yeah, sure, but say, Mr. Willard.
Well, heavy rains are due. We're all working against time. Plowing emergency drain ditches about our farms, trying to save our crops that are in. You know, I need a man to drive my tractor.
Maybe you don't know that I like Laura a lot. Maybe you wouldn't want me so close.
And I must admit, Laura's a wise girl and a woman. We'd be poor guardians if we stopped her from making friends.
Oh, I could kiss you, Uncle Andrew.
How about it, man? Will you come to work for me and help me out?
Oh, maybe I've been kidding myself, kidding everybody. Maybe I can't work. Say, Mr. Willard, did you talk to the doc?
Mike, take the job.
What? What?
Start easy, Mike. Doc said so.
Ha ha! Oh, brother. Laura, did you hear that? I'm coming to work for you, Mr. Magruder.
Here's a receipt for your contribution.
Oh, swell, thanks.
All right. Step right up, my good people. Make your contributions. How about it, McBriar?
I told you I'd do no business with you, Hattie Hurst.
Nor I. Oh, well, be stuffy. What about you, Andy Magruder?
Well, I'd want to be sure my money got to the source intended and didn't end up in some lady's campaign fund.
Eureka.
What's got in you, Mooney?
Well, I ran my fingers through the rice bin and I ran through again and again, and I thought, and it finally came.
Oh, Mooney, calm down, kid. You're all red in the face.
And my opportunity for today has come. I see my obligation as a citizen, and I accept my responsibility, even if I get killed for it.
Yeah, sure, August, but...
Mrs. Hirsch, you got people sore at you. You're going to make a flop of our local Heart Association drive.
Why? Let her have it, Mooney.
Well, it's not going to fail. I'm going to see to it that people in this town fork over their money so that Americans can fight America's deadliest killer. And this booth will look a lot nicer with the...
Mooney!
Both of them. He tore my picture off the side of the booth.
Served you right, Hattie. Glad you had the nerve to do it, Mooney.
I am too.
Huh?
What? Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself. I didn't realize I was making a campaign stall of my contribution booth. Oh, Ben, you take over. Go to work. Here, I'll give you $20.
Oh, swell, Hattie. Well, whatever you say, who else, folks?
Well, here's my check for $1,000.
Oh, wonderful, huh?
Here's my $2, then.
Nice giving, Evelyn.
Here's Benjamin, $10.
Oh, now it's rolling in, kids.
And I'm going home. Huh? I'm going home tonight. I'm just a horrible scene, old thing, and I'll hate myself in the morning. Goodbye,
folks. I'm so utterly miserable. What a life failure. Oh, dear. Poor Hattie. I feel so sorry for...
Well, Mr. Magruder, I'll go down to my trailer and get the few work clothes and lock up, and I'll be with you in 15 minutes.
You wait here, Pagano.
Oh, Michael, I'm so happy.
Yeah, now we're getting somewhere, kid. I mean, Laura.
But that's better.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Well, Mooney, I'm right proud of you, boy.
Gee, thanks. And you know, when I was running my fingers through the rice bin, I thought of another moron story.
Oh, no, not that.
Yeah, well, you see, this moron, he kept running around the top of a box of Wheaties.
Mooney, I'm telling you, nobody can... Why'd the moron run around the top of the box of Wheaties?
Well, because on the instructions it said, you tear around the dotted line.
Baby sugar, dear heart.
Well, what is it, Ben?
Ain't us kids the ones?
Remember, friends, many of your fond hopes for the future can be transformed into actual realities through the new John Hancock Personal Security Plan, which serves the double purpose of providing extra cash or income for you to enjoy later on, and as life insurance, helps provide for your loved ones if your support should be withdrawn. So have a talk with your friendly John Hancock agent.
What's the name?
John Hancock.
Point Sublime is written and produced by Robert L. Redd and stars Cliff Arquette and Mel Blanc. This is Art Gilmore saying goodnight to you from the thousands of friendly agents of the John Hancock Mutual Life Insurance Company and suggesting next Monday night at the same time, tune in again to Point Sublime.
This program was transcribed. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company. 8:30 at KECA and KECA-FM, Los Angeles. At your O'Keefe and Merritt dealers now, the gas range you waited for. New automatic model with all the famous extra features.